We're doing Ilchot Shabbat, and we had been learning the Be'er Davar, that you're not supposed to discuss the mundane. We had discussed you're not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk on weekdays. You're not supposed to walk to check out your business. And then we had started learning about Shitrei Yediotot, that you're not supposed to go over your accounts on Shabbos. Accounts receivable, accounts payable. What money do I owe? You're not supposed to deal with the papers that are your weekday stuff. And that's why you're not supposed to read ads in the newspaper. You're not supposed to spend Shabbos thinking about business. So Chazal forbade dealing with things that pertain to business, and that includes that includes reading advertisements. So that's the issue. That's one of the issues one could have with a newspaper. You wouldn't be allowed to go over the classified section on Shabbos. You're looking for a job, look at it after Shabbos. So this is part of the what's called Shitrei Hedyotot, the shtar, the legal document of Hedyotot, of the mundane, that you're not supposed to deal with that on Shabbos. Kshekvar midabrim b'inyanei igeret, when we're already talking about an igeret, the letters, the documents that you're not supposed to read on Shabbos, chashavnu, we thought, he writes, shetov la'tzig kan od kama dvarim shetzichim li'zahir b'hem b'noga li'igeret b'shabbat. It made sense to present over here a few other things that one has to be careful about reading documents on Shabbos. Asur lekabel igeret miyad akum ha'meviyah mirshut ha'rabim. This is an issue they have in Chutz La'aretz. If a non-Jew is delivering a letter, UPS, special delivery, you have the mail shows up on Shabbos, and they're going to bring you from public domain. So are you allowed to accept it? That non-Jew carried for you that package that he's delivering on Shabbos. So, Ela omrim lo la'anicha mikodem al eze makom. You tell him, you leave it here. You tell them before Shabbos, or you leave a sign out, please leave it inside the door, outside the door, next to the door. Later on, you'll be able to take it from there. But you're not supposed to accept it from his hand to yours, because then he's bringing it from public domain to you. Sometimes you could have a problem that they're working for you and they're carrying it from outside the domain. Where they have that is the people who subscribe to the New York Times. They bring you the New York Times on Shabbos. They bring you the newspaper on Shabbos. Sometimes they're printing it on Shabbos. They're doing it for you. They're doing it for all their customers, but one of them is you. So that's another problem. Imei geret chatuma, if you get a sealed package, asur lepotcha, you can't open it on Shabbos. Ukmo bechol davar, shasur liYisrael asoto beatzmo b'shabbat, shasur gam lomar le'akum nasoto. And like anything else, once you cannot do it, you're not supposed to ask a non-Jew to do it on your behalf either. So here too, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to open it for you. You also have to know, sometimes the letter itself is mukhtzeh. Sometimes there are letters which you have to retain. You got your diploma in the mail. Okay, your college diploma shows up special delivery on Shabbos. Would you use that as a placemat? Would you use it for anything other than hanging it on the wall? And you'd be very careful; no one could touch it and get it dirty. So that can also be muktzah because you're very careful that that shouldn't have any other usage. So then it's also muktzah. So you can't move it for the reason of muktzah as well. The Torah said that the Navi writes, V'daber davar, honor Shabbos and the way you talk. From here our sages say that the way we talk on Shabbos is supposed to be different than the way we talk on weekday. So our sages said, you're not supposed to discuss what you're going to do after Shabbos. If you're discussing something which you're going to do, which is prohibited to do on Shabbos. So let's say you're going to say, after Shabbos I have to turn up the heat in this house. But you're not allowed to turn it up on Shabbos. You're not supposed to say on Shabbos, I'm going to do it after Shabbos. after Shabbos, I have to go to the airport. I'm not supposed to discuss that on Shabbos. What you cannot do on Shabbos, you're not supposed to discuss that you will do after Shabbos. Now, if you're going to say in a way that it can be understood you're going to do it in a permissible way or in a prohibited way. So that goes back to what we discussed on Mimtzoch Heftzecha, that would be permissible. You say, we have to meet tonight in the shul. You intend to drive up to the shul, but you could just as well walk up to the shul. So then you're allowed to discuss it, because you didn't overtly say you're going to do something prohibited. Yes? Right. So I think it depends. Saying a woman asked me this, and I said to her, "Of all the recipes you read, how many do you actually do?"
If you don't discuss it with someone, can you still read it?
So why are you reading it? Are you reading it as preparatory for a weekday, or you just enjoy reading it? Right. So I think that falls under the category of this is interesting reading. When you read those recipes, that's what I said to the lady who asked. I said, you get Mishpacha magazine every Shabbos, and every Shabbos they have recipes there. Now, once in a few months, you actually do the recipes. Why are you reading it the rest of the time? You're not really reading it to check out, maybe I'll do this. You're reading it because that's interesting. Wow, someone thought of that.
But even if you read it, say, well, I'll do this week, do I have this? If you start doing that.
Right, so if it's preparatory, if I'm reading it to prepare for my cooking on weekdays, I'm not supposed to do that on Shabbos. But if I'm reading it, because part of my leisurely reading of Mishpacha magazine is to read, I read the recipes. You know, people have this habit that when there's a publication they like, they read it cover to cover,
yeah,
including every advertisement. No, okay.
Am I the first guy to ask you that question about the recipes?
No comment. Yes.
I know there are ways one can, but you can't ask a goy to do what you wouldn't do. What is this concept?
That's generally. It's rabbinically prohibited to ask a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos.
But the whole state just relies on, you know, certain things that, you know, and it's the lies. You could, if you have to, you do it like you've mentioned many times in medical emergencies, if there's a Jew there. But we try to avoid it, and that could fall into the form of nephews. But there are, you know, people have people in the home that aren't Jewish sometimes, the fancy homes out clean up or do something or this and that. And it would sound by what you're saying that would be possibly a friend. And the other thing is, what about a UPS guy or postman? I mean, this happened when the bad house that I stayed at Shabbos, it was Jewish. And he comes and he delivers.
Oh, wow.
And he said, maybe I'll come here one time and, you know, I didn't know this existed here. It was removed from the heritage, but, you know, then you say you can't leave it, I mean, take it back, or then it's already there. It's interesting.
Or do you wait 24 hours
till
you could have delivered the next day, and then...
Well, technically...
He didn't, I don't even think he would have known.
You know what I'm saying? If someone
right, no... I think that because he doesn't know, so that falls under a different category. He doesn't realize he's doing a prohibition. I'm saying, so then when it's even less than a shogeg, saying, and here you have a few reasons for leniency. Number one, if he wouldn't have brought it, a non-Jew would have brought it, so you didn't need him to bring it. Number two, it's not like he did a prohibition for you, because if he wasn't carrying your package, he would have carried someone else's package. Meaning there's, he works for UPS, he's, even though he's Jewish in Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that, so he's going to carry anyways. Number three, you didn't ask him to bring it now. Meaning the guy who sent it asked him. So that in its own right is not such a big reason for a leniency, because technically we say, if someone did milach on your behalf. I got this question once. Someone called, I don't remember who anymore. There were a whole class, and one of the class members was getting married, and that Shabbos was like the Ofrif. So a friend from the class, one of the guys, who lives in another country, not in Israel, stopped observing Torah and Mitzvot, decided he's not doing that. And then it was Shabbos, his time, and he sent an email on Shabbos, his time, with a song in honor of his friend who was getting married that Shabbos. So here in Israel, they're getting this message, which they know was written on Shabbos. At that guy's time, Shabbos, he wrote a letter that to be read at the Ofrif of his friend. Right? You can't say Omer Motu, you can't say he's a shogeg. He knows, and he decided he's not doing it. So I told him, you can't read it for them in honor of the Chatan on Shabbos. I said, that's exactly the case that Chazal said, that if someone, he transgressed Shabbos for the Chatan didn't ask him, but he did do it for him. So then you're not allowed to derive benefit from that. So that's, but here the UPS guy who's coming on Shabbos, he really doesn't know it's Shabbos. That's less than a shogeg. So there, if it were a shogeg, so it's a machlokas, grun, shulchan aruch, whether you're allowed to derive benefit from it on Shabbos. And this comes up a lot when you're a guest by someone sometimes and they don't know the laws of Shabbos so well and they mistakenly do things that are prohibited. You see them do things that are prohibited. I remember I was once by someone who was serving soup and they were doing bora. They took out a filter and they took out all the pieces from the soup and they're doing bora to serve everyone clean soup. But they don't know it's bora. So there you have the gra that says that when the person is a shogeg, this isn't omer mutter, this is a shogeg, so the gra is lenient that you're allowed to derive benefit. And then we rely on the gra when necessary. You're going to insult your host, suddenly you asked for soup, and then they bring in, I changed my mind, never mind. They might get the hint. But in the case of the UPS guy, it's more lenient than that. He doesn't even know what he's doing is prohibited. So those are the angles of leniency.
Wise. I mean, you talk about talking on Shabbos, about meeting afterwards at the shul. What about if it was a shul that you know you're not going to walk?
That's irrelevant. Nope, it's still permissible. Even though you know it's a two-hour walk. It's a two-hour walk. You couldn't walk 10 miles.
You couldn't walk 10 miles. 25.
If you say the airport, it's a two-day journey.
Next Thursday.
Right, so then you run into a problem. But the fact that it would take you 2 hours to walk, and you both know you're not going to walk, that's irrelevant. Right, you didn't discuss something prohibited. You didn't say, I'm going to drive, it's doable. So that's permissible speech, which, again, so long as it's possible to do it in a permissible way. Yes.
I didn't.
So again, we're more lenient than that. Most of the cases where you're staying by someone and they did the shopping on Shabbos, they're a shogeg. They're a shogeg or less. It's rare that you run into a situation where, like the story I gave of the guy who wrote the email, where they know it's Shabbos and they're not keeping.
Well, they know it's Shabbos, but they just don't keep it.
Right, but they look at it as when you keep Shabbos and don't do shopping on Shabbos, you're machmir and I'm mekel. They don't look at it as God said no and I'm doing yes. Right. Most people who don't observe Shabbos think that the other people who do observe Shabbos are extreme. They're
so Reform Jews would look at it as like
Reform Jews, right?
Okay.
That's for sure. That's at least a shoge, and it might even be less than that.
But you still have to wait
until
how much time after Shabbos?
No. On Shabbos itself, you run into a different problem.
Right.
They did the shopping for you, and that stuff technically was out of your reshus on Shabbos. You run into a different problem on Shabbos to sit down and eat the cream cheese they just bought. But after Shabbos, you don't have to wait. Yeah. and again, our assumption is that most people who are Reform and Conservative are even less than a shogeg. The ones who we have an issue with are their rabbis, because very often they know better. And that, I'm not saying all of them do. It could be in this generation already, they don't know better.
Most today, Reform rabbis today. There was a time we had conservative rabbis who went to why you were saying.
Right.
But in this day and age, I don't think they have much of a clue. It's not an excuse. It's still a big problem. But to say that they're really learned and have their Yiras Shemayim.
Not Yiras Shemayim. We had a student here who went back to the States, and his Reform rabbi called him in and said, "Don't make a revolution at home. I know all the laws of Kashrut. I'll give you solutions." And he started discussing with him solutions. Some of the stuff he said was actually orthodox and right. But it was insightful to me that there are still Reform rabbis who know the dietary laws. I mean...
You want to be optimistic, it's still heretical, but they're moving to more observance because they've seen there's nothing. I mean, they tried everything under the sun, right? But it's still raw. But when I was a kid, you didn't see a kid by the way.
It's
kind of like doctors who smoke and are 50 pounds overweight, but they're going to give you because they know they've read the books.
but our assumption is that... Reform, conservative, and people who are unaffiliated or are non-observant, I'm saying, generally the assumption is they're tinok shenishma. They grew up thinking that those are the fanatic extremists.
Health reasons or stuff.
Or you do your things. Like even, I remember growing up that we had a rule on Shabbos. I could watch television, but I couldn't play video games or use a computer. There's those different levels that you have. How religious
you are. Yeah. Okay, but again, so you can't say that someone who's doing that is a shogeg. They don't know. They think they're keeping Shabbos.
Yeah, there are a number of former conservative rabbis who they've looked into more of this stuff and they understand, oh, there's these things and that, but I don't. To agree, yeah, there are some that are both on the side like they're coming, but.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this gives us a level of leniency, which we view them in such a positive light that, okay, when they do something on Shabbos, my capacity to derive benefit from it is larger because it's more lenient. They really don't know.